This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. It's 3 o'clock, time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. LaGreca. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's January 14th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and you. Now, we're all apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, that's your responsibility. Now, you might sit there and be alarmed and go, what? Not four?
Not no. Four?
No. Rangers start this season tonight. Rangers hockey on 98.7 ESPN. So the pregame show is at 6:30, and the tilt at the Garden is going to be at 7. We'll have all the action right here on 98.7. So the hockey season begins for the locals. Yesterday, as we mentioned, the soft open, Don with an ice pick, nailed it, made people money. He'll have an ice pick a little bit later on. On the Garden floor last night, the Knicks, who might have an offense that scores fewer points than the Rangers this year, they lost to the Nets, a net team that was, minus four players that had been dealt, so they couldn't play. So they pretty much had a nine-man team, and although the final score doesn't look that terrible, the Knicks were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. You know what Jeff Van Gundy said yesterday? They can't score. You can't win if you can't score. So, not good. And a funny scene after the game, Emmanuel quickly did not have that terrible a game, but he stayed on the court and was shooting right afterward for a while. And Don, he was had to be kicked off the court because they had to switch over to the ice, which will be used tonight.
And that's great, and I know it went viral, and good. That makes Knicks fans feel good. But in Steve Young talks about available yards in the NFL. I mean, the available points in the NBA is ridiculous. I mean, I was watching a game the other night. It was Philadelphia, Miami. The final score, what, Andrew? It was like 137 to 135. It's amazing the points that are getting scored. Michael, I think this Knicks team would be awful scoring if this was 1988. Yeah, like this, I don't think this would fly in any era.
They cannot put the ball in the basket. I mean, it's a simple thing, and they have no one that can shoot 3 points. And the one that's probably best at it right now is Kevin Knox, who was hitting a couple from the right corner. But otherwise, they don't score. And because they made a late run at the end after Kevin Durant sat down with about 4 minutes left in the game, you've got Julius Randle playing another 40-minute game. So that's a one knock on Thibodeau, that he plays his players a lot. Well, he didn't have that many good players, so he's going to play his best players even more. And Randle playing 40 minutes in a game that the Knicks had no chance to win from the fourth quarter on, that's a lot, man.
See, that's the thing, is I don't think anybody should overreact. We shouldn't have overreacted positively at 5-3. We shouldn't overreact on a 4-game losing streak. But what is disturbing, Michael, is that it really hasn't even been competitive in these 4 games.
No.
And when you consider what the Nets had on the floor after a deal like that, these have been 4 very humbling games. And if you're talking about too many minutes and all that, when's it going to get any better? I mean, we're in the infancy of this season.
It's not. It's not going to get any better. So that was the one side of the story. The other side of the story is that it's funny. It was reported by Woj that the Nets had acquired James Harden, but it wasn't official. So before the game and after the game, no one from the Nets could talk about it. Well, it became official today. All the components of the deal that we reported yesterday, that's what it took to get Harden. And Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets, spoke with the media on a Zoom call today. And so we just felt, it came together quickly. We felt that was the move to make. And we're going to go for it. Also said that the organization is disappointed in not having Kyrie Irving. Didn't have any timetable for when he would get back, but expects that he would. And I've given a lot of thought, and I've read everybody, and you know, the prevailing thought on this deal is they've got to win a championship to make this work. Now, a lot of people are saying they have to win a championship this year. Well, that's ridiculous. They don't have to win one this year. They have to win one while these three guys are here. That's all there is to it. Now, you'd like to win two. Not easy to win titles. So they have to win one because there might be a little bit of a downturn in the net fortunes when these guys get older or if they just decide to opt out, and they could do that in two more years. So if they do that and leave, the Nets are in some trouble. You know, there was an unbelievable stat today that I saw that the Nets, since the trade with Boston, will not have control of their first-round pick from the trade that they made with Boston until, I think, 2025. They don't have over control. They don't have total control of their first-round picks. So they have four flips in this deal, and they have four first-round draft picks as well. Now, you know, I took a good look at it. Giving up the first-round draft picks for the next couple of years, it doesn't. That's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. And I'll tell you why. They're going to be good. Now, whether they win a championship or not, we'll see.
Right.
But they are going to be good. So the first-round draft picks that they're giving away, in my opinion, are going to be the 27th or the 28th. They're not going to be a lottery team unless one of these guys gets hurt. So I don't mind giving up those first-round picks. It's the picks that are there after these guys leave. Those are the ones that get me nervous. Those are the ones that you're really going to need. Those are the ones that could be A, lottery picks, or like right in the middle of the first round where, oh, I don't know, you could get a Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are the ones that get me concerned. Bottom line is this. They put all their chips into the table like Jim Fossil did. He got to the Super Bowl, didn't win. They need to get to the finals and win because they have completely mortgaged their future, guys, and they've got to win. They've got to win. I think they know that. And
yeah,
to add an added layer of intrigue to the whole thing, not only are they a team that has to win, but they're not liked. They've got players that are not liked. They are now becoming the villains.
Yeah.
So they've got the black suit on. They are the villains. The black hat. We'll see how they handle it. Some teams don't like that.
Yeah, but you know, as somebody who rooted for one of those teams in the Mets in 86, you don't care. You know, if you're a Net fan, you just want to see your team win. And you've never seen your team win a championship before. And I think that has value for sure. You know, everybody's so concerned about the future. I'm disgusted by the way things went down from an NBA standpoint. But if you're a Net fan, you've got a chance to win a championship. Not just this year, but for the next two or three years to win a championship that you've never seen your team win before. And you're going to sit there and worry about, well, what's it going to be like after it's over? Oh, well, then worry about it then. Everybody's so worried about the future. You're living in the now. You've got a dynamic team with an excellent chance to win this year. And if not this year, the year after, and the year after that. There's a lot of franchises that go 100 years without getting that kind of an opportunity. So, yeah, you might have to pay the piper the way Cleveland did after LeBron left, or what's going on now in Golden State. But if you win that championship, Michael, isn't it going to be worth it? When
yeah.
you never won one before,
if
it means you got to go
never
through two
won.
Or 3 years of being god-awful, but you've got championship banners.
Well,
hey,
if Mark's just as good as we think, they don't have to have that real fallow long period. There might be a couple of years. But Mike Vaccaro had a great column in today's Post, and he dug up a quote from Mark's. Now, Mark's heavy lifting since being the GM of the Nets has been getting out from under the Celtic trade, which buried the Nets. Now, I don't compare this to the Celtic trade because of the fact the two guys they got, one was 37, one was 35. They were both on the back end of their career. But he gave up the farm for them. And I don't blame Billy King. To this day, I don't blame him. He was forced by Prokhorov to do that deal. As Don said yesterday, they just moved to Brooklyn. They wanted to make a splash, wanted to be the Knicks, whatever. Okay, well, this is what Mark said when he was hired. I think we want to build something sustainable here. This is not something that's a fleeting moment, like go all in, and a year or 2 years from now, we're sitting there like, great, now we've got to completely rebuild everything, and we don't have the assets to rebuild with. So there's that side of it. He's done exactly what he said he wasn't going to do.
However,
exactly what he said.
He couldn't have seen this coming. Right? How is he supposed to look into a crystal ball that he would have a chance to get two of the best players on the face of the earth in the NBA, right, to join his team in free agency? And that one of them would go off the rails the way they did. I mean, sometimes circumstances tell you that you gotta roll with the punches. So he's not going to make that deal because a few years ago he said he would never do it. Circumstances change. Did he ever think he'd be in this situation?
Yeah, but the reason that the reason that King did it was that same situation. Now the players are older, but he pretty much said when he got hired he wouldn't do a deal like this. He wouldn't do this because then it would bury you. You don't have assets to rebuild.
But we said yesterday.
Here's the exact stat. The Nets are going to go 14 years from 2014 until 2027 without once controlling their first round choice. It's unbelievable.
No, it's a lot.
So they have to have a championship.
It's a lot. There's no question. But but to get a couple of championships out of it, and if you believe in the brain trust there that they'll find a way to get picks, they'll find a way to make a second-round player turn out to be a star. That's what you got to have faith in. But, how often do you get a chance to put yourself in this kind of championship caliber? And I'm sorry. We said it yesterday. Garnett and Pierce did not put the Nets on this kind of level. It was a blockbuster deal. It made them better for that first year in Brooklyn so that you could win some fans over in Brooklyn and play some meaningful games. But they never put them in the championship caliber conversation. They were aging players. You're bringing in a star player.
Oh, they've got three stars,
right,
essentially, in their prime.
And so this is a team that is now that, Peter said it yesterday, we're on a championship level anyway. But this puts them right into the conversation for the next 3 years. So you pass that up so you can possibly be that in years to come?
Now, Vaccaro also brought up a great point that I didn't even think about. And I want to throw this at Peter. Because I know, Peter, you were a little bit, a little bit hinky on this deal, giving up a lot.
I am.
So Houston got LeVert in the deal and quickly turned LeVert into Oladipo.
Correct.
Wouldn't that have made the Nets better if you got Kyrie coming back? You could have just traded Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo. And you still have your first-round draft choice. Now, Oladipo is, by no stretch of the imagination, James Harden. But he's a really good player, and you make yourself – then you have 2.5 stars. He's not a full star like a Harden, but 2.5 stars, and you keep Jared Allen, which makes your defense better. You keep Taurean Prince. You keep Karutz, and you keep the 4 draft picks and the flips. You keep all of that, and you get Oladipo, and all you gave away was Caris LeVert. Think about that.
I mean, Oladipo – He's now a 20-point player. Oh, if you really look at over the course of his career, he's like a 16, 17.5 assist player. Now, my only problem with that is, how big an upgrade is that from Caris LeVert as your third player? I just don't know that.
That's a good point, too.
I don't know that it's enough of an upgrade. I mean, listen, I'm sticking with this team was already a championship contender without James Harden. So while I know, Allen sort of laughed in my face with the idea of would you be better off without the deal, he also pointed out you're certainly better off with the deal on paper. I liked how he put it. If it's a video game, they have the best players in the game. You are unstoppable in a game of 2K. But 2K doesn't include the fact that two of the three players are potential headaches. Now, I think Harden will be fine when he gets here. Obviously, he had not been a problem. Had we heard really a peep from Harden up until things went south with Houston? I feel like things have been fine.
No, because he's a guy, he doesn't believe in load management. He plays every single day. But, he's also a diva. He leaves the team.
He doesn't get along with everyone.
Playing, he goes to Vegas and, he'll pop in and pop out. But he's there for game day all the time.
And he wants to be here.
But he wants to be
here. Yes, he does.
But so much more about this whole team to me, and this is no matter who's here. My issue is whether James Harden was here or not. Are they gonna? They gotta start getting chemistry. Like this isn't an endless experiment. This they have to start putting it together and building as a team. And guys, that doesn't take 2 weeks.
No, it's gonna be a while
to get to the caliber where you're gonna beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Well, But there isn't the pressure to do it this year. I mean, you do have a couple of years beyond this one. But this is the one year where you don't care about being the sixth seed, right?
Well, you might have fans by the time the playoffs start, Don.
Well, not as much as in other years where, you know, there's not going to be a true home court advantage.
Unless fans are allowed by May.
We're not trending towards that. Okay. Right. We're not, at least in New York, it doesn't seem like. Now, could there be a big game in Miami in which there could be, you know, 5,000 people in the building? I guess Florida's been very open-minded. Texas has been a lot more open-minded about allowing fans in the stands, but New York doesn't seem to have an appetite to do that at all, at least not on any kind of level beyond what we saw in Buffalo. And I think that was extenuating circumstances. Most likely, you're going to be playing in an empty Barclays Center. So I'm not saying you want to be a 6C, but if there's a year to be one and it not affect you as much, it's probably this year. So can they hit their stride in time for that first round matchup?
I guess you just got to get in. And the thing I don't agree with, as I said at the start of this, you don't have to win this year. You have to win in the time frame that they're here. And if you don't, it's a colossal mistake. A colossal mistake. Misjudgment. Now, they'll be exciting to watch, and they would certainly be interesting, but this is the one year that it doesn't matter. You're not going to pack the Barclays Center. So you're not going to sell more tickets because James Harden is there. Wow. And the thing that really got my attention, though, I mean, I think their offense is going to be scintillating. I mean, if they all put their egos at the door. But Jeff Van Gundy did not seem like he was over the moon. I mean, the only team that he said they were better than right now was the Celtics. And, you know, the Celtics are going to get Kemba Walker back at top level. And then are they actually better than the Celtics? And he didn't say they were better than the Bucks. He didn't say they were better than the Heat. He didn't say they were better than Toronto. And he said they were not better than the Lakers. And the thing he kept saying was they don't play defense. Who's going to D up in a big moment in a big game? Not Harden and Kyrie. They're not.
And DeAndre isn't Jared Allen in terms of who he is as a player right now.
Right, and they don't have rebounding. So, I mean, you added a great player, a great scorer, but you took away some components that are going to be hard to replace. And in fact, you're not going to replace them. Now, Woj was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he said... He was asked about the Nets' internal feelings on what's going on with Kyrie. Listen to this.
Teams have to be able to count on you. And if there's issues, if there are things that they need to help Kyrie Irving work through, like any organization with a great player, they're going to be there to do that. But ultimately, they've got to know you have seriously committed to this endeavor and this group and this team. Kyrie Irving has to be a leader on this team. He's got to be a leader for good. And I think for the Nets, they have to know that. But listen, bringing James Harden in changes that dynamic. And this is a team now that has three MVP-level players on it. And I do think that perhaps the organization gained a little leverage now over Kyrie and over his future by landing James Harden.
Now, on that same show, Jay Williams said that the Nets trio is the best trio ever.
If there's anything that should grab Kyrie Irving's attention, it is this trade. This trio is better than the trio that I saw when Kevin Durant went to Golden State, and that's with Klay Thompson, and that's with Stephen Curry.
Wow.
It's better than the trio that I saw with LeBron James and D-Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. Talent-wise, they are the best. I think they might be the best assembled in the history of the league. This team has all the pieces because they can outscore anybody. Prolifically, who's going to stop this team offensively? You can't tell me the Bucks are. You can't tell me Philadelphia is. You can't tell me Boston is. They are the most gifted team on paper in the NBA.
Yeah, but who are they stopping? That would be my question to Jay. Who are they stopping? Well, so, yeah, as Don said earlier, they'll score 140 points, and they'll give up 148. And finally, here's Tim Legler on SportsCenter asking, he was asked how the Nets are going to mesh.
What they are going to say to spin this in the right way is, we're just going to take the best matchup. Whoever's got the best matchup is going to go. Well, the truth is, all three of these guys really have a great matchup against any defender in the league on any possession. So you are going to have nights when guys are probably going to get frustrated that it isn't coming their way with the game on the line because they have belief that they are the best option in that situation. But in general, offensively, when you pair together a guy like James Harden with Kyrie Irving, who may be the most dribble-dependent players in the entire NBA, to get into their action, it's hard to imagine at times what this offense will look like in terms of having a flow to it. Look, but you're foolish to think anybody is, all of us, if this works, that it can't lead to a championship.
Big if. They'll score with anybody. And again, how are they going to split the opportunities to score? And will they be able to do that? Kyrie, is he a guy that's willing to check his ego at the door? And they are ball-dominant players. Not KD, but Harden and Kyrie are. So how's that going to work? Who's going to check the ego the most?
Well, a few things at play here. Number one, it's not that outrageous to say that it's the greatest trio in the history of the NBA, because it is. But the problem is when you talk about winning a championship, is the drop-off from 3 to 4 or 4 to 5. Because that might be all they have when it's all said and done. Is that going to be enough? But to have three great players, I mean, really, who? Is this better than Jordan, Pippen, and Robin? Probably. Is it better than KD and Curry and Thompson? Yeah. It's probably better than Magic, Hakeem, and Worthy.
No, it talent-wise, but there have never been three better scoring superstars together.
Maybe in sports. How often have you seen, in any of the four major sports in this country, where three of the top 10 players in the sport are on one team? Very rare, if ever.
Very.
But even in basketball, where it is really talent-heavy, top-heavy talent-winning championships, you still need other things, right? As great as Miami was, one of the championships were won with a three-pointer from a guy that was not one of the top three guys on the team, right? How many times did, and in Chicago, how many times did somebody other than the big three hit something or do something that helped them win the championship? You need a little depth. So, yeah, they might have the greatest triplets in the history of sports, but is it enough for them chemistry-wise and depth-wise to be able to navigate through and win that championship? And the other thing, too, Kyrie and Harden should have pressure on them to win the championship, because how would that look if you're Harden and you orchestrate a deal to go to a team and then not win the championship and just fail the way you did in Houston? And for Kyrie, who wanted to be here, chose to be here because this was his childhood team, and then not win.
You know, the one thing that I would say to Jay Williams, though, I mean, it's so easy. We live in the now, right? So there was once a big three that I would say is better than this big three. And they didn't win. They didn't win right away. Does anybody remember when the Lakers traded in 1968 for Wilt Chamberlain? So you paired up Wilt Chamberlain with Jerry West and Elgin Baylor. I don't know if this three is better than that. I just don't. They won one title, but they didn't win it right away because it does take a long time to mesh. But well, that's a pretty good three.
Right, but it's you could debate from a name standpoint, but you're right. But there's an example of it still takes time, chemistry. The Heat didn't win that first season. They did go to the final against Dallas, but they didn't win right away. So there is a difference between being laden with talent and putting it together. I just did. It's a different sport, but I just did game misconduct. I mean, two of the best players in the NHL right now, I think two of the top five players in the NHL are on the same team, and that team can't get out of its own way in Edmonton. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are two or three of the best players in the league. They're okay. They're not great. You need depth. You need other guys. Even in basketball, where it's so much about like having Batman and Robin, right, Peter? Always talk about Batman and Robin. There's still other things that have to come in. Who's going to be the Ray Allen to hit the big shot?
And also the big games, though. I mean, it's great to score 140 points. You're not going to win. How many championship game sevens do you see that kind of scoring? People are going to have to D up. Who's the team that could stop the other team from scoring? I mean, it's almost like college football in a sense. Alabama was going to score every single time they got the ball. And once Ohio State kicked the field goal, boom, it was over. Who's going to get the stop? Do the Nets have the guy to get the stop? All right, we'll hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so a lot of good tweets about this. Kendall Wiggins said they are not better than Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
False.
Kareem Worthy, nothing. Magic.
Stop.
Curry, Thompson, Durant. They're the best trio of all. I mean, I love that we're going to get a chance to see them every single game on the YES Network. We live in this town. It's awesome. But to say they're the best ever. Sweet Lou, Wilt, Wes Baylor, MJ, Pippen, Rodman. Well, Rodman, see, didn't give you much offensively. He was a great defender and rebounder. Magic, Kareem, Worthy. I'm sorry, that's better than this trio.
No,
I don't know.
It's not.
Oh, come on.
Is Kyrie better than Worthy?
Let me argue each one, okay?
Okay.
And I say this is a person who's the most glorious team I ever rooted for was the Big Three in Boston. McHale and Parrish are all-time great players. They're not even on the same caliber as Harden and Durant. Maybe they're in the conversation with Kyrie, but they're a full step down.
But they're different players, so it's hard to do. The other guys handle the ball. McHale and Parrish didn't.
Well,
so,
we don't know who's going to perform the best. We're talking about the assembly of talent.
Right.
Okay, Wilt, West, and Baylor. Come on.
That's the one.
Wilt Chamberlain's might arguably be the most talented player in the history of sports.
That's the toughest one.
I think that's the one. Because if you're going to tell me that Kyrie...
But Magic, Kareem, and Worthy isn't
you guys are much bigger basketball fans than I am, but I follow and I know, right? Was Worthy ever one of the top 10 players in the NBA?
No.
Was Parrish ever the one of the top 10 players in the NBA?
No, neither was
Worthy.
McHale
was one of the top 10 players in the NBA. Sure,
no,
he was.
I don't think so. I don't think he was.
These three right now are in the top 10 players in the NBA, correct?
Yeah.
Well, Kyrie... The NBA is loaded right now.
Right.
So, is Kyrie top 10? He flirts. He's probably between 8 and 13.
When he's into it, Peter, he's in the top 10.
He's the best at his position. Well, he's not Steph. He's the second best at his position when he's fully engaged.
Right. Is he better than Thompson?
Well, they're very different players.
But I'm just saying, was Thompson a top 10 player? Or is a top 10 player in the NBA?
Well,
no.
Certainly not this year because he's injured, and last year he got it.
When he's healthy, I think Thompson hovers between 15 and 20.
I mean, you can't argue 17. This is one of.
Yeah, one of.
I think that 68 Laker team is the one that's really difficult to say isn't better. But I mean, you can't say Rodman. It's a different player. Rodman was a special rebounder. He's a Hall of Famer. But was he ever a top 10 player in the league?
No.
And neither was Worthy. And Kareem.
You're underestimating how great Worthy was.
I don't think Worthy was ever a top 10 player.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way.
He was an all-star.
Magic is one of the top 10 players of all time. Kareem is one of the top 10 players of all time. Forget about, like, that era of all time.
Right, but at that particular time, he was at the end of his career.
No, he was not. Not with Worthy. No, he was not. They won a lot of titles with Kareem. He was great.
I know, but he was also 15 years into the league. So at that particular moment.
I think he was still a top 10 player.
Let's take a gander.
Let's take a phone call while you gander. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Toms River. Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Really, really, really big Nets fan. Super nervous, super excited. Just wanted to give my perspective. I watch every single game. I, beforehand, would not have made the trade, but letting it simmer and settle in a little bit, I mean, 10 years ago, we won 12 games and didn't even get the number one pick in the draft lottery. And now, 10 years later, we are the team that everyone's talking about. So coming as a Nets fan who's never won anything, you kind of have to embrace these moments and really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And in terms of draft capital, we just overhauled for the Celtics, and 5 years later, we're arguably the best team, top three team in the league. So draft capital can only go so far. You need, when you have a chance to get superstars, you get them.
So what don't you like about the deal?
What I don't like is that I've watched Jared Allen and LeVert for so long, and kind of the things that the Nets already struggle with are the things that Jared Allen and LeVert are really good at. So meshing and chemistry is going to be really, really big down the stretch. And it's really hard to look at it past this year, but I think you kind of have to. We can definitely retool after having an offseason and letting some of this cap change a little bit, and you can get some of those players that you need, like how LeBron always retools with these defensive guys and veterans every year. We're going to have the opportunity to do that at the end of the year. It's just really hard to look full picture when you have a 2-3 year deadline, you know?
Well, I didn't like – I mean, it bothered me that Jared Allen was included in the deal. So I checked it out. I was talking to some people last night. Number one is they needed all these players to be included to fit the $40 million that was coming back with Harden. All right, so they had to be an accumulation of salaries that you had to send to Houston. And that's what, you know, obviously they would have liked to have done DeAndre Jordan, but I don't think that Kevin would have liked that. That's number one. Number two, Jared Allen was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And he's having a really good year. They're already way over the salary tax. Well over. Maybe they said, we're not going to be able to sign this guy for $25 million a year. We're not going to do it. We're not going to have that many players making that much money on the team. So they looked ahead and said, we're not signing him, so let's include him in the deal. Now, it does hurt them defensively for sure, and it hurts them rebounding as well. And you'd rather have Jared Allen than Kendrick Perkins, but DeAndre Jordan, but Jordan only makes $10 million a year. And I think that the number for Jared Allen next year was going to be way over that. Maybe 2.5 times that. He probably would have made $25 million. Did you do some research, Peter?
I did. So, a couple of things. Jabbar was incredibly effective basically up until the 87-88. I mean, he was all through the 80s when Magic's there. From 79-80 on, you're talking about 24 points a game, 26, 24, 22, 22, 22.
Money.
So he was still very, very good. Now, the absolute height of his career, which was the beginning, when he was averaging close to 30 points for like the first 10 years, he wasn't that guy, but he was still very, very good. Worthy was not a top 10 scorer, I don't think ever.
But he was named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history.
Well, no, he was a great player. I mean, the total package that Worthy brought to the team, he was a great player. Let's see. You know, basically Worthy was 25 and 3, that kind of guy. He was really great, but in those other teams that you mentioned, besides maybe the Wilt, West, Baylor, and even that one to some extent, there's a clear best and then a couple of the next two who are not at the same tier. Even in the case of Miami, while Bosch is a really good player, Bosch was not Wade or James. You could argue that when they're playing their absolute best ball, Kyrie, Durant, and Harden are in the same conversation. I mean, Irving is the one who's down a little bit from those two. But when he's at his best, guys, he's an absolutely prolific, dominant scorer as
absolutely.
A point guard.
Absolutely. He's
so
great.
On paper, I believe the argument, and they are in the conversation for the most talented trio ever assembled.
And when Wilt got to L.A., Baylor was like in his mid-30s. He was like 34, 35 years old. I mean, you're getting three guys that are still, you know, relatively young.
Well, I mean, isn't KD 32? And he just came off Achilles. So, I mean, I think he's still in his prime. And I think that we're judging, a lot of people are judging Kyrie off his Nudnik action of missing these games. He's a great player. It's the other stuff that annoys you about him, but when he's on the court, there are few that are better. That's how good he is.
No, this is we can sit here and debate and agree, disagree. This is one of the three great trios in the history of sports playing on the same team. And yet the championship's not guaranteed. So that's what tells you that even in the NBA, there's other things that have to be done, not just by the rest of the team, but by them. Like, I would rather have Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman because I know I'm going to get great defense from the three. I know I'm going to get great rebounding from Rodman. So those three, even though I think the Nets three are better players from an overall standpoint of all the things you need to contribute to a victory on a given day, those Bulls three would probably give you more wins, right? Because everything's covered. Jordan was a great defender. You know, Rodman was one of the great rebounders in the history of the sport. He almost made it to an art form after watching The Last Dance. I mean, he could break down getting a rebound the way, like, Picasso would paint.
Michael Casio on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll get to everybody. Lines are jammed. People want to talk about this. I get it. We do as well. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, you just saw Mac Jones, the quarterback of the Crimson Tide, have a great championship game, and now today he declares for the NFL draft. And a lot of people think that he could be maybe a mid-first rounder. We'll see. But, boy, he rode that 1 year. He sat, waited behind people, beat out the top recruit, had a great championship game, and said, okay, let's go.
Did you see – I don't know if it was during the celebration or as the game was winding down, they showed a picture of when they won the national championship the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the background, because he wasn't the starter at the time, I don't think, trying to catch the confetti with his tongue.
Right? Don, who's the little bobblehead in front of you with the basketball?
If I gave you a million guesses, this is the great Troy Murphy. And when Troy Murphy was playing in the NBA, apparently his dream, I don't know why, was to play a game for the Newark Bears. And Jim Cerny, a former colleague here at ESPN and with the Rangers, was the PR director of the Newark Bears. So he made it happen and had Troy Murphy fly in and actually play in a game for the Newark Bears. And they put together a little figurine commemorating that moment. And I now have it.
And you have it. Wow.
So of all the all of the professional athletes that you think I would have a figurine of, how many guesses would it take you to get to Troy Murphy?
Never. I would have been a billion.
Yeah, we could have stayed all day, all night.
So real quick, I actually tweeted a picture. So the big moment for the Twins is when they come down into the man cave, because there's so many things to play with and so many things I don't want them to touch, right? So there was a moment where Don LaGreca, bobblehead doll, was having a conversation with Joey Ramone, bobblehead doll.
Wow.
So in Marco's imagination, I was interviewing Joey Ramone. Well, yesterday when they were playing down there, Joey Ramone was having an extensive conversation with Troy Murphy.
Interesting.
Also a conversation that nobody would ever dream would ever take place.
What would Joey have to say to Troy Murphy?
Not sure. I think Troy would probably have to do most of the talking.
All right, and also, can we get to the bottom of something? Because it's been bothering me all week.
Sure.
We're at day four of our week, Monday through Friday. This is Thursday. Peter has been dressed to the nines each and every day.
Yep.
So either you're bored out of your mind or there's some kind of job interview going on. A lot of people on Twitter are saying maybe he's leaving the show.
No, you don't.
Why are you getting dressed
Michael,
up like this?
He told you he was going to do this.
But why? I don't get it.
You want to know the real, honest impetus for
this?
Because there is no real official reason, except for that it makes me feel good. I was interviewing Stephen A. on Hot last week. We've been having him pretty regularly these days. And Stephen A. was talking about his new show on ESPN Plus, Stephen A.'s World, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, listen, I know you're having people on to do picks. I should come on your show and do picks. I've been scorching hot. And Steven's response was, we could find it on Hot 97's YouTube channel. It was, in a word, troubling. It seemed as if he didn't get the words out, but he was just kind of like, he had
a hairy arm slob.
He didn't say that, but that was implied. It was kind of like, he couldn't get the words out, but I knew what
he
was saying.
He's embarrassed for you.
It was that, Peter, you're a great talent, but you look like a hack-a-doodle-doo. That's what I think he was saying. I wouldn't have you on my show when I'm dressed the way I'm dressed, and you would come on looking like you look. As
wow.
Ray said, put on your T-shirt and walk down Fourth Avenue. So wow. it inspired me to do a little better, because if I'm not worthy of a Stephen A. spot, then I need to up my level.
Now, Michael, aren't you insulted right now?
How so?
Because I'm insulted, and you should be insulted as well.
Wow.
So Stephen A. was able to convince you that dressing at times could be very important. And yet, years ago, you went on CNN looking like Flava Flav, and we told you, clean up your act. You're going on CNN to talk about the election, to get the rock the vote or whatever. Why don't you put on a suit? And you talked about, you don't have to do that.
That's
ridiculous.
My brand, big clock
that was
your
our
neck.
Suggestion. You urinated on our opinion. Stephen A. suggested, now all of a sudden you found religion and every day you're wearing a suit when you don't have to. So, Michael, I'm insulted.
We'll have
Stephen A. on a little bit later on in the show. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this.
First of all, I defend my decision for what I wore on CNN to this day.
And you haven't been on CNN since then, have you?
No.
I guess we were right.
No, I think I did one other appearance.
Yeah,
but either
you know
way.
What? Jeff Zucker probably looked at the screen and said, we can't have this guy on dressed like this.
I looked great, first of all. And second of all, I wasn't there to be a host. I was coming on as a Hot 97 morning show host. I wasn't going to wear a suit. That's weird. I wore what I wore that day, which, by the way, wasn't a bad outfit. It was like a jacket and a hat. It wasn't crazy.
A hat. You wore a hat on CNN.
Really?
On. Imagine Jake Tapper wrapping a rock.
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
Now you got a little caught up, and now you realize you realize that how buffoonish that was, and now this isn't this classier.
No, I never
could have been co-hosting with Don Lemon at 11 o'clock. It would have been great. Three shows in a row. That the morning show, the afternoon. You would have been booked all year.
I never
said you decided to show up like you were a rapper.
I never thought about CNN for a second. I'm good with the CNN outfit. And now I'm just thinking about the drop of me just yelling, I don't want to be Jake Tapper. And that's all I can think about.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Jack in the car. Jack?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, man. I'm so, like, pumped up to talk to you. Well, not so much to talk to you, Peter, but to tell you how ridiculous you sound sometimes when you talk about sports.
You're supposed
to be the basketball. Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish. You're supposed to be the basketball guy there, right? And
sure.
You think James Worthy wasn't the top 10 player at his time? And
yeah.
You think those three knuckleheads on the Nets are better than those three guys? You're lost.
They're
most talented. Maybe they are the most talented, but they haven't won anything yet, number one. Number two, if Kyrie Irving decides to play every now and then, it might work. It might
Agreed.
Work, but he's not. He's not. Cause
I don't disagree.
Like you are. You cannot talk about basketball and don't include Magic, Kareem, and James
Worthy.
Can
I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Not even to mention.
Can I ask you a question? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, man.
And for the sake of argument, because I said talent, I need you to remove the off-court shenanigans and talk about talent, okay?
Okay, I did.
All right, so hear me out. Here's the question I have. Here's the question I have from a talent standpoint. Would you be more likely to build a team around James Worthy's talent or Kyrie Irving's talent?
Kyrie Irving is a super talent. He could be the top five player. I guess I got to say Kyrie, but you can't not say James Worthy was not a top 10 player.
I don't think he ever was, though. I was just looking at the stats.
He was an all-star.
He was top 50 all-time in NBA history. He was chosen on that team. That's how great the guy is.
But that's about consistency over your career.
Right. But you're not going to make top 50 if you were not top 10 during the stretch when you were playing.
I mean, that's I don't
again,
know.
We're not talking about rings or who's got a better chance to win a championship. I'm just saying that when you look at those three, these are three of the top 10 players in the league. Now I think the better argument would be, was Kareem at 35, because that's how old he was in 1982 when they drafted Worthy, that was Kareem a top 10 player in the league at 35? Worthy certainly didn't come into the league as a top 10 player. So as Worthy got to the point where he might have been a top 10 player, which would have been 3-4 years into his career,
and
you're talking about a 39-year-old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was not a top-10 player.
Don, Worthy was a great player coming into the league out of North Carolina.
But you don't get drafted and be a top-10 player immediately.
Very rarely.
And then Kareem, I'm sorry, I love Kareem with the hook shot and everything else. In 82, 83, in like the second year for Worthy, was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a top-10 player
yes.
at 36 years old?
Yes, he was.
He was scoring 25, 26
yeah,
a night.
He was unstoppable. And the
but
only
the bottom
reason
line
he
is you scored
35 points a game is because he had Magic
but these
and
are
Worthy
three,
there.
But these are three of the top-10 players in their prime.
That's
the rare.
Thing. That's the piece. It's not that Worthy's not great.
No.
Oh my God, he was great.
Because this is where I get so hot, Michael, because the callers all of a sudden got to call Peter, make names. He can't even have a conversation. So obviously he had another agenda. Okay, so let's leave the caller aside for a second. But the one thing that he did say, listen, if I got to win a championship, I'm taking the Laker trio. If I'm going to take it, the Bulls trio. But that's not what was being. When you talk about like the three great players at the same time, it's very rare. We're not even sure it's going to work. Jeff Van Gundy's not even sure they're better than Philadelphia right now, who just lost four of their last five games.
There's
a different conversation. But please, I know Kyrie's difficult to root for. I certainly know James Harden is difficult to root for. All right, one orchestrated his way out of Houston by gaining 20 pounds, and the other one, God knows where he is. But from a talent standpoint, guys, come on. This is right there, if not at the top of the list.
Now, Andrew sent me an interesting stat. We're arguing about where Worthy sits in terms of where he was in the league. Andrew pointed out a good place to look is the All-NBA teams. Worthy was third-team All-NBA two times, 89-90 and 90-91. That's it.
Now, when he starts accumulating championships, Michael, they're going to put him in the top 50 all time because they're looking at championships. But when you talk about,
No, they wouldn't. There are other players on that Laker team that are not top 50. Those Laker teams were great. I mean, that was James Worthy was. They called him Big Game James. He was an amazing.
Yeah, but James Shields called himself that too, and it didn't work out.
That's who?
James Shields called himself that too, and it didn't work out.
No. He didn't. Joe Madden called him that.
I know. I'm joking.
There is one thing we're not considering with this, and when we come back, we will consider it, because you can't just say the three best players, because there's something else to add to it as well. We'll add to it in just a moment. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Here's what I mean when you're saying the best group, best trio. Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. By the way, Worthy was the 1988 Finals MVP. Look at his Game 7. In that series, they were perfect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pick the three best point guards in the world right now and you put them on the same team, that doesn't work.
Right.
So the three best players the Nets have right now, they could say it's the three best players ever put together. Harden and Kyrie Irving, if this was a basketball laboratory, you would not put them together.
Right.
They both need the basketball. And then let's throw in Kevin Durant, who obviously needs the basketball to score as well. It's a difficult fit. But if you look at the other trios we're talking about, they all had roles that fit. That's why when you're talking about the best trios, you could say Rodman. Rodman didn't score, but Rodman rebounded and played defense, so he was perfect for Jordan and Pippen. I'm not sure this is the perfect trio. It could be three of the best, most talented players together, but do they fit the best?
Right, and then this is different conversations, and I think the bias comes when we bring up the big three in Chicago, the big three in Miami, the big three in Golden State, and the big three in L.A. You know, they all have won championships, and it worked. So right now, it sounds like it's ridiculousness when we're comparing these three to those guys, when those guys all did it, won, had chemistry, and these three haven't even played together yet. But that's one argument. The other argument is having three of this kind of talent, this kind of caliber on the same team. I'm telling you, it's rare in sports, not just the NBA. We're talking about three of the best players in the NBA in their prime, playing on the same team at the same time. That's rare in sports, period. The only one I can come up with was when you had like Messier, Curry, and Gretzky on the Edmonton Oilers. I don't even know if there's a baseball one, Michael.
Well, the only argument Don and I are really making is about talent. It's about an assembly of talent.
Right.
And that guy called, we looked past the guy that he had an instant, well, hey. When I said, would you start a team around James Worthy's talent or Kyrie Irving's talent? The fact is, this is a unique group, and it may be the problem. They may be almost too talented to be together. Because it helps on a team to have an alpha dog and then other guys who know. Golden State understood Steph Curry was so comfortable in his leadership on the team that he was willing to take a back seat to KD becoming right. The first option. Klay Thompson doesn't touch the ball. All Klay Thompson does is play, give you 48 minutes of defense, and then catches the ball and knocks down threes. That's what Klay does. So they fit perfectly. We have no idea if this will gel. Separate argument, though, from the level of talent that's been assembled here.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Alvin in Newark. Alvin.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How you doing?
All right, I love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, I'm just thinking here. What if this is the reason why Kyrie is not playing? Maybe he doesn't agree with this deal going on, and he's like, you know what, if this happens, I'm not playing, because that's like a smack in the face to an athlete diva like Kyrie. You tell a Kyrie guy kind of player, hey, you're not enough, we got to get more. That's kind of insulting to a superstar, don't you guys think?
Well, it's hard, Alvin. I don't know. Because Sean Marks said today this came together quickly. I think it came together because Kyrie disappeared.
Right.
So Kyrie did this to himself. And Kyrie and KD are supposedly tied at the hip. KD wanted Harden here. So, I mean, then there's a problem with communication, I would think. Kyrie's a smart basketball guy. He knows that one of them is going to have to, like, take a back seat.
I don't think they were looking to make this deal if Kyrie was playing and playing well. Because, like Peter said, they were already in the conversation to win a title, so why mortgage your entire future? They did this as an insurance policy because they don't know if Kyrie's coming back.
Because if you look at the teams they're competing against, Milwaukee, Boston, Toronto, whoever you, the Lakers.
What's the deal with them being 2-8?
Yeah.
Is Toronto even in the conversation?
Yeah, maybe they won't be when it's all said and done. Philadelphia, whoever it is.
Let's pump the brakes on, somebody brought it up on Twitter too. This team has not played a home game. They're playing in Tampa. They'll be fine. They're a really good team.
I'm just saying, real good teams don't lose 8 of their first 10 games. I'm asking. I don't know if there's injuries or there's a reason, but you know.
But my point is this:
basketball team.
If you look at the rosters of all these teams, none of them are constructed anything like the Nets. I mean, the Lakers have two great players, and then there's a precipitous drop off. Milwaukee too. It's not even close. So you can't tell me they wouldn't have been in the conversation with KD and Kyrie and Caris LeVert all playing a lot. I mean, obviously that went down a bit when they lost Dinwiddie. But and let's not forget Joe Harris, who's a real baller. So you can't tell me that they didn't already have a makeup of a team that could compete with the best teams in the league. So I agree with Don. I feel like this move had to be made, even though Mark said today that they spoke to Kyrie and KD about this move, and everyone is committed to gelling with James Harden. I think they made this move because they're not sure what's going to happen. Otherwise, why mortgage your future when you already had an incredible core to this team?
Well, they lost their third best player in Dinwiddie for the year. So I'm sure that played into it. And then Kyrie's flakiness really probably pushed him over the edge. And the fact that if they don't get him, the Sixers probably get him. And, okay, you subtract Simmons and you put in Harden. Are they better than the Nets? But maybe the Nets didn't want to know. Let's go to Anthony in West Milford.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to get to my Nets and the reason why they're not going to win the championship in 1 second. But I really think everybody's forgetting about, like, you know, the top three, trios of all time. Guys, that Golden State team with Durant, Curry, and Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson scored 37 points in one quarter in a game one time. So let's not act like Klay Thompson's, like, I'm sorry. Klay Thompson's better player than James Harden because he's a two-way basketball player. James Harden, I play better defense than James Harden. So that's that thing. I'm sorry. That Golden State team, that trio was way better than this one.
Way? You can't say way better.
Yeah, they are. Klay Thompson is the top defensive two guard in the league.
Okay, and James Harden is a much more prolific scorer than Klay Thompson.
But Peter, they don't let Klay Thompson doesn't have to score as much.
No, I understand it happened. I'm talking night in, night out. That's
but he
what James
doesn't
Harden
have to.
Does.
He has Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Well, there's only a certain amount of points to go around.
We can argue about that another time. But hold on 1 second. The Nets can't win a championship because they don't have a center. They don't have a big man. Anthony Davis is going to bully that team. And I'm a Lakers fan. I can't wait to play the Nets if they get to the finals. They have no way of defending Anthony Davis. Look at the playoffs last year in the Western Conference. Anthony Davis bullied Jokic. He bullied Adebayo. He bullied the Houston Rockets because they didn't have a center. The Nets don't have a center. So to make this move, to go out and get this guy, you're giving up defensive players. You have no defense. You have no big. They're lucky if they make it out of the East. Now, do they make it out of the East? Probably, because Durant is Durant. But who says Kyrie's coming back? That's a whole different mess. They're not going to win the championship this year. And who says they're going to win it next year? I don't know. I don't know if they ever won one. Will they?
Well, I mean, there's no Anthony. There's no guarantee. Obviously, you never have guarantees in life. But let's look at it this way. They got a chance. To say the Nets don't have a chance to win a championship, you're just being disingenuous or hating. Yeah, there are negatives on the team, but you know what? There are negatives on Milwaukee. There are negatives on the Sixers. There are negatives on the Heat. So you have to sit up and go, okay, which team has more negatives? And also, some teams match up better with other teams. So who's going to play whom? Who's going to be knocked out?
Who had Miami going to the final last year?
No one. Not even Pat Riley.
Who had the Bucks losing in the second round? I mean, that's the one thing about the NBA that I think is a good thing, is that that's starting to change, that whole same two teams going at it, you know, four straight years in a row. Things are a lot more wide open now. And the fact that that a deal like this can be made and Jeff Van Gundy can go, are they better than Philly? Are they better than Milwaukee? So that tells you that it's pretty wide open and should make for some interesting basketball for sure.
Now, this was a story yesterday. We never got a chance to get to the NBA changing its COVID protocols. And it's funny because Don said this the day before when we kind of touched on some of the things that they were talking about, where you can't shake hands with players afterward or hug them. So George Hill from OKC, he said some dumb things. But then this one also made sense. He said, we could sweat 48 minutes on a guy next to us for 48 minutes, but we can't talk to them afterwards. It makes no sense. He's absolutely right.
Well,
they're breathing and sweating and spitting on each other, spitting by accident, and all of a sudden at the end of it, no, you can't shake their hands or hug. Come on. That's all eyewash.
But I guess... Well, there's a lot of hypocrisy, and hypocrisy's strong because when I hear hypocrite, hypocrisy makes it feel like it's intentional or evil. I just think it's one of those unfortunate byproducts of this pandemic, because we saw it in hockey when they had the hub. Like, if the three of us played on a line together in the NHL, right, off the ice, we'd have to stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask. But as soon as we got on the ice, we line up together and we play with no masks, right? Because it's almost as if to say, listen, we can't, if you guys want to play, well, then we're going to have to let you make contact on the court.
You don't have to shake hands, so let's eliminate that. So let's only keep the have to's and get rid of the stuff that we can get rid of. Now, it's hypocritical. I don't know how much sense it makes at the end of the day, but isn't that, I guess, their logic? You gotta make contact to play basketball. We've all agreed to play basketball, but you don't have to shake hands after the game, so don't do that. Is that so bad?
But again, George Hill also said he's not going to stop seeing his family. He said, if it's so bad, we shouldn't be playing basketball. Well, George, do you want to collect your salary? So if you don't want to play basketball, you're not going to collect your salary. Everybody's trying to make their money despite terrible situations right now. The thing that they had to do, you can't go outside the hotel and you can't have quote-unquote guests come into your room. That's easy. But when you're sweating on each other for 48 minutes, you can't tell me they can't hug each other. And I love the fact that the coaches are wearing masks. Every time that they yell out something, they drop the mask down. So what does it mean? Wow. Doesn't mean anything. You're still spinning all over the floor. You're letting those droplets go everywhere. Once you drop the mask so you can be heard, so much of it is just nonsense.
But I think there's messages, too. I understand everything that you're saying, but I guess if it lowers it even an iota, isn't it kind of worth, I guess, doing? I don't know. I don't know why you have to fight about it, right? I mean, you're playing. You understand there's a pandemic. You can't shake hands after the game. Is that the end of the world? I get the family thing. Like, you want to see your family. But, unfortunately, your family isn't under the same rules as the NBA. They're not under the same protocol, so there's a possibility you get sick. It's all a house of cards. So anything that is going to just make it that much better, isn't it worth doing or trying to do?
I guess, but again, I understand players saying this doesn't make sense. The other stuff makes sense. He's wrong about, like, I'm going to go see my family. I don't care what you say. No, you're not allowed to leave the hotel except if you go to the arena. So fight on some things, and then the other stuff he said made sense, I thought. Let's go back to the phone.
I get the sense, but is it worth, like, fighting over about it? You know, just listen, we were all in a really tough spot. Let's be honest. It's probably not the greatest idea in the world to be doing this during the pandemic, right? More people are dying a day than they did in March and April when we didn't play. You talk about hypocrisy. We shut down sports, right? On March 11th, we shut down sports, nailed it shut for 4 months. It's worse now than it was when we shut it down.
Way worse.
So we obviously have realized that we've learned more about the virus, and we also realize that we've got to kind of make things work. So if it means some of the rules have to be hypocritical, if it means some of it's got to be kind of off balance, if it makes it so that we can all enjoy sports and get back to some set of normalcy, if it means that there's going to have to be some rule you're going to have to follow that doesn't make sense to you, isn't it better in this bizarro world you say, okay, instead of making a public and bitching about it, how about just, all right, doesn't make
I get that. I wonder what George Hill would say if Adam Silver goes, okay, you're right, we're going to pull the plug, there'll be no season, so you're not going to get your $20 million. What would they say then? They're trying to get through this.
Right.
They're just trying to get through it. Everybody's trying to get through it.
Right, and if it means we've got to have some kind of yo-yo rule, it's so what? That's what you're complaining about, because you're right. I mean, Gary Bettman admitted they'd probably lose less money if they didn't play. But they understand that it's important to kind of to get things going. The players want to make their money, whatever money can be made back. It's not good for the NHL to disappear for a year. And same with baseball. I'm sure there's a lot of owners of baseball who are like, boy, it'd be so much better with no fans in the stands if we'll see in 2022. But they're going to try to make it work. And if that means you have some Fugazi rules, at least in your eyes, Fugazi rules, then... God, is that the worst thing in the world? Most of these players can't stand each other. So you gotta hug after the game?
Let's go to Brendan in Cranberry. Brendan.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good.
Peter, I think the suit looks really nice. I thought those suits all week have looked great.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that, Brendan.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I think it's interesting we're having this conversation about the best three players when let's see if they win a championship or two. And when they even get close to what Worthy, Magic, and Kareem did, right? I mean, look at what they've accomplished. How do you even compare? It's not apples to apples, right? I mean, they got to win a championship or three before they're in that conversation. Sorry, just my opinion. I'm a Knicks fan.
Well, no, I hear you, Brendan. Yeah. But I mean, for what we do for a living, people love comparisons between generations and eras and things like that. And it was Jay Williams that's the best trio ever put together. And I take exception to that. It's certainly one of the, but when you say the best, well, you're also, you're forgetting Cousy and Russell and whichever other player you want to pick from the Celtics to have a trio. And one other thing with the Warriors, you got their trio, but it was almost like a five-headed crown. Draymond Green's a big part of what they do with his defense. And Andre Iguodala won the MVP of the finals.
Michael, there was a lot of teams that won championships.
That didn't have a big three.
That didn't have a big two. Or, right? I mean, Dallas won. What was Dallas's big three?
What was the Raptors' big three?
All right, so obviously we're not... And all the guys that we – all the trios that we mentioned, I'm taking them all over this one because they've all already won. And I don't think this one's going to win right away. Let's see how it plays itself out. Maybe they'll play a little bit more defense. Maybe they'll know their roles and we'll be able to evaluate it. But that's not what Jay Will was saying. It's just very rare in sports to have three players as good as this all playing on the same team. Don't know if it's going to work.
Don, are you in the mood to give an ice pick?
Huh? Not yet, no.
Not yet?
Well,
I thought you had one.
At this second, or do you want me to do it when we
come
back?
No, I said we're going to make a break, and then we'll come back, and call the tease. People love your ice.
Oh, I wasn't hockey, sure. Man. I'm sorry. As you say, I don't pay attention to the clock, so I didn't even know what time it was.
You don't even look, do you?
Maybe it's just because I really enjoy what I do, and I'm really into what I'm doing.
Okay, so that's perfect. So let's start from there. You really enjoy what you do.
Go ahead.
Well, how do they pay us? They pay us because people pay for ads. And in order to get the ads in, we have to go to commercial every now and then. So you wouldn't be doing what you do if we didn't have ads.
I'm not fighting it, Michael. I'm not acknowledging that it's not important. It's just sometimes I get a little giddy and the time flies. I didn't realize it was already 4:23.
Well, and by the way, Michael's a hack. 4:23 is not even that late. He's just
I started 3.
Right.
Listen, I have a New Year's resolution that we are going to pay attention to the clock. Yesterday you spit on it with phlegm. You guys don't even care because you start making points 2 minutes after we're supposed to break.
Hey, that Van Gundy
I'm not going to stand for
you guys.
It
had nothing to do with me.
What?
The Van Gundy interview ran long, not because of me.
I'll take blame for that. I asked about Deshaun Watson.
That's what put it off the rails.
Peter likes to ask a question that he actually knows about to anybody. So it could be somebody who has nothing to do with that question, but Peter wants to get into Deshaun Watson.
Wait. You don't think that was a good question?
Let's just be thankful that Jeff Van Gundy doesn't reside in the D.C. area.
That, you know what? It's a great point. But Don, do you recall what Jeff's answer was when I said, are you paying attention to Deshaun Watson?
Oh, am I paying attention every second waking hour?
Like, yes. All in.
Yeah.
He said it was a great question, but, I'm not the one that extended the interview. With it.
But,
really
that
money
question,
out of people's pockets.
That question, Don, then got into Blake Snell, Charlie Morton, George Springer, teams shouldn't exist if they can't keep their best players. I mean, it really had tentacles.
My mom loved Charlie Morton.
Actually, if you want to shut down Jeff Van Gundy, just ask him if he's interested in a vacant job. Other than that.
With that, we'll take a break right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, a significant baseball note that has kind of like flown under the radar because of all the news in basketball. But Theo Epstein, who resigned as the president of the Cubs, very bright guy, and, learned how to promote inefficiencies in the market, won a championship and broke a curse with the Red Sox and then with the Cubs. He's a Hall of Famer. He has signed up to join the commissioner's office, where he is going to work on the things that are problematic to the game and how to circumvent them. The pace, the reliance on home runs, strikeouts, things that slow the game down. So Epstein will be in the middle of that, and I think that helps the game. I really do. So it's a good move by baseball. Second thing, yesterday, Corey Kluber, who has not pitched essentially for 2 years, he threw at the Cressy Foundation. Now, Cressy is a guy who works for the Yankees as the head of performance, but he also runs his own shop, so to speak, and has worked closely with a lot of players, and one of them is Corey Kluber, and he threw, I believe, for 25 teams yesterday and threw very well. This is a Cy Young Award winner who was between 88 and 90 on the gun. If he could throw like that and his control and his stuff, he could be a very, very good pitcher. So somebody's going to give him a contract with incentives. Will it be the Yankees? Do they have an in because of Cressy? Not quite sure, but Buster Olney is reporting that could move quickly. That could be the type of player that a team makes a play on, and he could be the difference between getting knocked out in the playoffs or winning in the playoffs. And ESPN.com put out some betting nuggets for the four games this weekend. So, Peter and Don, get your pencils ready.
Okay.
Because these are some interesting nuggets right here. So, the first game we're going to look at, Rams and the Packers. It's supposed to be very, very cold. Well, the Rams just come off a win against Seattle where they were the underdog. Well, since the NFL added the wild card round in 1978, teams that pulled off outright upsets in the wild card round are 25-35-1 against the spread in the divisional round. The total over-under for the game is 45.5. 12 of the 17 Ram games this season have gone under the total. All seven outdoor playoff games in weather below 32 degrees since 2017 went over the total. All four outdoor games below 32 degrees this season went over the total. Now, Jared Goff is going to play. The other guy's out. Wolford's out again. He's 0-2 against the spread outright in his career in games below freezing with zero touchdowns, five interceptions. And the current spread of 6.5 is tied for the second largest underdog spread in a Rams game since McVay took over. The Rams are 21-13 against the spread on the road under McVay. So those are the nuggets for that game.
I predict that we will not be able to get that game at 6.5 when we make our picks tomorrow.
Really? What do you think? It'll be higher or lower?
Yeah, I think it's going to go up.
And now you get the Ravens and the Bills, -2.5, over under 50. Baltimore is 9-1 against the spread, 7-3 outright as an underdog since drafting Lamar Jackson.
Wow, that's a hell of a number.
Jackson's 6-1 against the spread, Peter, and 5-2 outright as an underdog. On the road, Jackson is 14-3-2 against the spread on the road in his career. Buffalo has covered 8 of its last 9 games, though its 8-game cover streak ended last week against Indy.
That's right. We all know that very well.
Buffalo 7-1, Peter, against the spread this season when the line is between 3 or +3 and -3.
Listen, I'll tell you guys, I've been saying it all week. I'm leaning Buffalo this week. But I do get scared. You get the sense that, like, Lamar Jackson is the kind of player who he just has days where he's unstoppable. Like, if he has that kind of day and they don't figure him out, Don, do you know what I mean? He has those moments when you're like, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's third and four, and Lamar Jackson's a shotgun. There are days we have no hope in stopping him.
Well, maybe
he's going to catch the ball and be gone. That's it.
Maybe this nugget will take you off your pick.
Okay.
Baltimore 11-5-1 against the spread this season, tied with Miami for the best mark in the league.
Wow.
But Buffalo is 11-6 against the spread, the third best in the league.
Yeah, see, that's the rub.
Oh, man.
Therein lies the rub.
Now, you're good, Peter, because we only have to take 3 of these 4.
All
right, let's go to Sunday's games. Cleveland at KC. Right now it's -10. You know what, KC is 1-7 against the spread the last 8 games. The only cover in that span was a 3-point win over New Orleans when the line closed at -2.5 after being at -3 most of the week. Chiefs are 0-4 against the spread at home in that span and 0-3 against the spread as a double-digit favorite in that span. Cleveland, the 10th team since 97 to win at least 11 games in the regular season and be a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. Now, you might wonder because you're both very bright.
Very.
Well, how about the previous nine? How did they do?
How did they do?
8-1 against the spread. And since the playoffs expanded to 12 teams in 90, 11 win teams are 11-5-1 against spread as a double-digit playoff underdog. Double-digit favorites are 6-1 against the spread in the divisional round since 2010. Patrick Mahomes is 4-1 against the spread in the playoffs. 3-0 last season.
Well, that's why I disagreed so much with R.J. Bell, besides the fact that he just generally gets things wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like all year, and I've said this quite regularly in the air, but I'll keep saying it. Kansas City just never covers. This is that week, though, right? You get the bye, and you're not messing around anymore. This would be the week that I feel like they come out and do someone dirty. And if there's one team in the conference that I feel, even though I think Cleveland is competitive, but if there's one team to be had who could really get got by a more experienced, better football team, isn't it Cleveland? I mean, come on. You guys, let's also say what it is. After that flukish first quarter when they were up 28-0, how long did Cleveland go cold for?
Yeah, but they kept answering every time it got close.
No, not until it took.
When they closed to within 11, then they'd score again.
Right, and that was like, I feel like there was a gap, though, of a quarter and a half, almost two quarters, where they did basically nothing.
They should have never gotten that chance to answer if Tomlin goes for it on fourth down instead of punting.
Right.
You know, I think there. This is what's scary about it, and I'm not taking anything away from Cleveland, but they had to make the playoffs against the same team with backups and won by two at home. Pittsburgh contributed tremendously to that victory for Cleveland. They're not going to get that same kind of gifts from Kansas City. Now, Cleveland took advantage of it, but you score 28 unanswered points in the first quarter. You're getting some help from the other team. You know, so I'm not sure you're getting that from a team coming off a bye. As well coached as Andy Reid in Kansas City, this is a huge test. I'm not saying 10.5 makes sense. 10 makes sense. I'm just saying that.
But is there a world, Don,
in
which you look up and this game's it's a beatdown?
Of course,
yeah.
They're explosive, Kansas City. Now the final game, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. It's 3 right now, -3.
God, that's a sexy game.
New Orleans has won and covered 5 straight meetings with the Bucs. Tom Brady has never gone 0-3 against the spread or straight up against one team in a single season. He's 0-2 right now. Brees is 5-2 outright and against the spread in his career against Brady. Brees' 5-2 record is the best among 17 quarterbacks that faced Brady at least 5 times. Now, the old cliche, it's hard to beat a team 3 times in the same season? Well, these Nuggets tell you it's overblown.
That's
in
so
the
true.
Super Bowl era, teams that won the first two meetings are 14-8 outright in the third meeting, though they are just 10-11-1 against the spread.
See, that's the difference, is that we're talking spread here. But that is such so hard. Yeah, it might be hard to beat a team 3 times in a row, but it seems to be done quite a bit.
New Orleans has covered the last 4 times it's been a home favorite. Tampa Bay 2-1 against the spread, 1-2 outright as an underdog this season. Now, as an underdog in his career, Brady is 39-17-1 against the spread. And Tampa Bay is 1-4 outright, 2-3 against the spread against teams that finished with winning records. Since 2015, the under is 21-8, and Tom Brady starts with a total in the 50s. And finally, New Orleans is 7-1 against the spread and outright when the great Michael Thomas plays wide receiver this season.
A little
buffet before we make our picks tomorrow.
What do you think's the most fascinating game of the week? I'll tell you mine. Tampa, New Orleans.
I think the Kansas City game was fascinating to me.
Really? Because you just don't know who
Cleveland.
All
the reasons that you said, yeah.
Right.
Tampa, New Orleans is sexy because of the quarterback matchup and their age. I don't find it. Because I don't know what you get from the Saints.
No, you week don't. To week. I hear you. But the quarterback matchup is so sexy.
Yeah, but it's
and it's a rivalry game. You know, it's a true divisional game.
True.
You know, with these two legendary quarterbacks, the two oldest, it's just, it's got a lot there. I mean, also, I do think that it's just, isn't it so funny, guys, how there can be someone like Antonio Brown who dominates the news every day. And it seemed like this guy was truly completely gone from the league. He's now back and effective for Brady and is a complete non-story. Like, it's pretty interesting. You have two of the big, I mean, AB hasn't been himself this year, but you're talking about an all-time great in him, and across on the other side, Michael Thomas. You got Gronk playing. Tampa's getting White back at linebacker. Like, it could be a fun game.
Let's take a brief time out, take some phone calls. We have ENN coming up. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.